It's probably not surprising that 18 months after the GFC hit, there's some genuine renewed enthusiasm about different experiences or grades of capitalism, what you might call curiosity about capitalism with a human face, maybe even with a soul. For instance, the microcredit man Muhammad Yunus has been the centre of an exceptional amount of new interest, I note, after his recent visit, and this week another visitor spoke of what she called a renaissance in mutual businesses, those businesses that generate an income for members and also serve the local community. In the UK, it's become quite political. The Conservative leader David Cameron emphasises the need for greater economic localism and cooperatives and even a public sector of cooperatives where, say, nurses, teachers and other public servants run their own services. Dame Pauline Green is the president of the International Cooperative Alliance. She used to be the chief executive of Cooperatives UK, and she's in Australia currently for the launch last Monday of a new group called Social Business Australia. It's designed to assist all forms of social business in this country. So welcome to Saturday Extra. Good morning.
Well, thank you and good morning.
Has the GFC, do you think, added impetus to this growth of social business around the world?
Yes, I don't think there's any doubt about that. What's happened since that tumultuous collapse of all those blue chip businesses is that people have been recognising that actually to put their finances and their savings and their house purchase back into mutually owned, cooperatively owned financial institutions is a darn sight safer, more secure over the longer term, because those businesses lend on the deposits they get from their members, and they are much, because they're controlled by their members, they're far more risk averse, a much safer, more reliable sort of financial institution.
You see, I mean, the cooperative model has been around for many years, well over 100 years, and it's been very well developed here in Australia in certain ways. Are you saying there are new and innovative community models emerging, or is it just that the same old one is getting a bit of a new run?
No, you know, cooperatives are part of the social business mix. They're a large part, and certainly in this country, Cooperatives Australia has made it clear that the top 100 cooperative businesses alone are worth £20 billion turnover. And that's not a bad record for a social business sector, a part of the social business sector. But there are massive new areas of cooperative, mutual, community-owned, employee-owned businesses that are growing across the world, and likewise here in Australia, healthcare.
But aren't they very small-scale, Pauline? You've invited me to drop the dame, so I will, in case listeners ring up and say, how rude. Aren't they very small-scale?
Well, you know, you have to start with a business, but to see them being scaled up across the world is pretty impressive. I can tell you in the UK, for instance, the government introduced trust schools, and we established a flagship cooperative trust school, which schools teachers loved, the ethos of the cooperative movement of working together and of trying to relate to your community and having a good ethical-based, values-led model for governance. Those things had great governance with schools. Government saw that, put in a little chunk of money, and by October of this year, we expect to have 150. So, you know,
150
you scale
separate
up,
schools, cooperatives.
Yes, absolutely.
Gee, really?
And this is what happens when government can seize the moment and understand that ordinary people actually want to have some relationship with their local environment, with their local services, be it health, be it environment, be it education, be it social care, wind energy, all these things that are happening around the world and also beginning to happen here in Australia, which is terrific.
Well, we have something called the Capricorn Society, established in 1975. I wonder if you could tell us about that, because I am keen to know what's happening here.
Well, you know, Capricorn isn't a public service delivery. It's a commercial business run cooperatively. And it's owned by 3,000 automotive dealers across Australia. And it's an extremely sophisticated business model. And now operating, it provides parts to their members very rapidly, on demand by their automotive dealers. And what's more, they're so efficient that they are now have a mutual insurance that is running for their members alongside their commercial business, and they're operating as well in New Zealand, South Africa. So this is a highly sophisticated, cooperative, 21st century business running out of Perth, running multinationally now out of Perth, and is very successful, the fourth biggest co-op in Australia. So here you have a commercial business, and then you can also look at the way in which service delivery, public service delivery, can be offered by cooperatives, mutuals, employee-owned and community-owned businesses.
I want to come to that in just a moment. But now, this Capricorn employs people full-time, and how are the profits... is there any left over? Is there a surplus, or is everything distributed to the mutual shareholders?
Well, look, cooperative businesses have what we call multi bottom lines. With a corporation, it's got a single bottom line, which is to maximise its profit to give bigger return to the shareholders. In a cooperative business, there are multiple bottom lines. You return first to the business. The business has to be successful, and that's the issue about social business. It has to be a successful business, has to be able to what we call wash its face commercially, has to make what we call surpluses rather than profits. And those surpluses are returned firstly to the business to keep it efficient and effective, secondly to its member owners, and thirdly to the communities that they serve. So you have this...
This is all articulated, is it, in the sort of Articles of Association?
Yes, absolutely. And the cooperative model, because that's the one that we're talking about here, is governed by seven principles globally, which all cooperatives across the globe follow. And the cooperative movement serves half the world's population in one form or another, be it housing, agriculture, shops, health, whatever.
Now, you mentioned public service delivery. This is a new development, is it?
It is, and actually you mentioned it when you talked about David Cameron, which of course is what he's talking about the externalisation of government services, which a lot of particularly
outsourcing,
Western...
Outsourcing,
or privatisation, whatever you want to call it. But it's actually about looking at how services, public services, can be delivered more effectively by sources outside of government. And our view is that a model... like a social business model that actually puts the ownership and control of local public services in the hands of local people, for local people, run by local people, has to be a more sustainable long-term solution than a private sector business that is actually driven by profit motivation.
So this is another version of public-private partnerships, is it?
Not exactly. Obviously, context, the cooperative or social business sector is outside of the public sector, although the public sector may be buying services from it, as indeed it does from private sector businesses that to whom devolved public services are given. So you're talking about ownership, because the thing about a social business is that local people have to be engaged with it. There has to be participation. There has to be engagement. It's a sort of, for me, the whole renaissance in this model is about people finding a way to have some sort of economic control over their destiny. Mm. You know, the global market makes that almost impossible in big business now, but they can do it through these models locally.
My guest on Saturday Extra is Dame Pauline Green. She's president of the International Cooperative Alliance, and she's been in Australia for the launch of a new group that maybe we'll start to hear more of, called Social Business Australia. So you say it's a misconception to link cooperatives with communities facing high unemployment or sort of high welfare needs, although you've just said that you think it is a classic way to get back a form of social agency. So where do you see them ideally placed?
Well, I haven't said that cooperatives and other social businesses can't serve those who are out of work or those who are socially excluded. They can. But unfortunately, it's often the case that there's this misconception that that's all they're about. They're small businesses on the periphery. Well, clearly, what I've already said to you about Capricorn, what I've said about what's happening across the world, shows and demonstrates that this is a big global business. It just doesn't feel like that because each of these businesses are bedded in their own communities, and there's no better way of securing sustainability.
But how
think about the environment, it's an obvious one.
How do people have the time to do this? I mean, I'm just wondering, you know, you think about how volunteerism at a lot of schools and sort of preschool centres and so on is really the difficulties in trying to run these things with people who are doing day jobs. Does that not have an impact on just how effective these social businesses can be?
No, it doesn't, because the what happens is that ordinary people are giving strategic direction to the business. Obviously, they're employing professional managers to run the business, but the boards of these bodies are run by their members. Members are elected to them, and it means that you keep strong local emphasis and focus on the business or in the community that it serves, as in the case of Capricorn, it'll be the national community of automotive dealers. So, you know, that's the basis on which a cooperative works. It identifies its core base. I was pleased at Social Business Australia's launch inaugural address to learn about the first ever community wind farm in Australia, which has raised 90% of its funding already from 1,070 local people in its community. Now, that's exactly how a cooperative or a social business emerges and is driven. And that can be replicated by the dozen and dozen across the country.
Our opposition leader, Tony Abbott, has raised the possibility of a community health system. And in your paper, you mentioned the UK Foundation Trust hospitals, which have been built up, I think, over about the last 5 years on a cooperative model. Now, how well are they really working? Because there's quite a lot of scepticism here as to whether it can work well.
Well, some will obviously work better than others, but the best ones are working extremely well with many tens of thousands of local people joining the foundation trusts and beginning to impact. This is a new model, and it's a new model that will take some time to develop and grow. But what's happening is that local members are joining, and members can come from the public that the hospital serves, from the patient base and from the staff.
Do they have to have capital to join in?
No, they don't. In the UK, there is a specific model, a mutual model for the hospital trusts. But these people are then in different proportions elected to the board by their membership base, and are having and they then appoint the chief officer and the chairman, and they're having a strong impact on the policy and the needs and meeting the needs of the local community in their health requirements.
Mm. I know that my producer, Julie Browning, was told by Social Business Australia about the West Belconnen Health Cooperative, which is, I think, opening up next Thursday.
Yes.
A one-stop shop offering multiple health services with some funding from the federal government and the ACT government, about $500,000, and they say much cheaper than the super clinic models, which have cost between $5 and $20 million per clinic, and rely on ongoing public investment over time to run. Now, have you cited that cooperative? And is that the sort of thing that you think we could have more of?
Well, exactly. And when I was talking in the lecture, I made the point that, you know, you should be looking in your healthcare reforms as to whether a cooperative model or a mutual model of some sort might well be appropriate. Barack Obama, for instance, in his healthcare bill before Congress, has a cooperative option in that. It's clear that there is now general acceptance by serious political leaders across the world that this model can work. But it can only work if it's genuinely done with local participation and engagement. It can't be a top-down business. And you're right about West Belconnen Health Co-op. It's had a minute fraction of the money that's going to the super clinics, and it no longer, when it's up and running as it will be next week, it will no longer need funding of any sort to keep it going. It's based on the support of its members.
Well, look, I hope you're right. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed. Thanks.
Dame Pauline Green. And more information about the new peak body for social business can be found at www.socialbusinessaustralia.coop. So have a look for that. Now, just a lovely letter that arrived after Garth Cartwright, several arrived actually, his More Miles Than Money from Not Robin Nahum, Garth, the music's moved on. There is still plenty of music coming out of the US, but it's different to what it was 50 to 75 years ago. And so is the background of the people who make it. That's what happens to music. Many musicians are now tertiary qualified. If this means they play like Bella Fleck or Pat Metheny, I can't really see a problem. One thing has stayed the same. They're all struggling financially, just as they are here. Anyway, more after 8 o'clock. I hope you can stay with us to discuss Italy and other things. News time.